This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Wow. What's up? I just bought and financed a car through Carvana in minutes.
You? The person who agonized 4 weeks over whether to paint your walls eggshell or off-white bought and financed a car in minutes?
They made it easy. Transparent terms, customizable down and monthly. Didn't even have to do any paperwork.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. Hey, have you checked out that spreadsheet I sent you for our dinner options?
Finance your car with Carvana and experience total control. Financing subject to credit approval.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hour 4, G-Bag Nation on the Fan. The Expressway's 20 minutes away. LA Live coming up at 5:40. Time now for football's finest. Here's Eric Chiafalo.
We'll hear from a Cowboy legend coming up here in just a few minutes. 877-881-1053. I do think there is a position group that we're kind of glossing over a little bit when it comes to the Cowboys and how much they desperately need it. We talk plenty about the offense, but I think most of their needs really are defensively. Defensive tackle gets talked about a lot, linebacker, but goodness gracious, man, what are we going to do in this secondary? I think your first three picks being defensive players would make plenty of sense. We did an exercise on Love of the Star today. One of our listeners in a mailbag question, would you rather go first three picks offense or first three picks defense? In a hypothetical world where you had to choose one of those scenarios, I would go defense here. Broadus laid out two different scenarios that were both pretty enticing. You'd feel pretty good about either one of them. But when you look at just how big of a hole you have in these spots defensively, and I think this is the year where it's emphasized the most, in particular when it comes to the Cowboys. Gosh, how nice would it be if the draft was before free agency? And you could get a feel for what's going to be available because it's like, gosh, you let Osa walk. And I'm not the biggest Osa guy in the world, but if you don't replace him there in free agency, well, now all of a sudden you've painted yourself into a corner where you absolutely have to get one of these defensive tackles in this draft class. But defensive tackle, linebacker, and corner, I am totally here for a corner at pick 12. I'm sure there's a guy or two that Walchuk and Broadus would be like, yeah, it would make some sense here. But I feel like there's so much running back conversation. A lot of people are interested in, hey, please get me one of these receivers opposite CeeDee Lamb. All that stuff. Offensive line, I get it. But you have bodies there. Outside of running back, you at least have bodies on the O-line. You have bodies at wide receiver. You don't at defensive tackle. And you don't at corner. With Jordan Lewis, Diggs, Carson didn't show up last year.
Yeah, I could definitely do it. You know, if you guys went defense, I'd be like, okay, we're hoping for the best here. Let's win with defense. And I think the running game could be pretty good if you can find a runner in the fifth round, I guess you'd be talking, or free agency at that point. I'm just worried about how broken the offense has looked whenever you're against a quality opponent. That's where I'm at, you know.
And 100%.
I need to fix that.
I think defense, if I had to pick, though, would be the way. And again, it starts with, like, who's my best player? Let's build around Micah Parsons.
Let me throw you three names, Walchuk. You tell me if you like this on defense.
Okay.
And I'm probably going to switch. Okay, do you think Harmon could get to you at 44?
No, I don't.
Okay. Williams, then, from Ohio State.
Yeah, I think there's a shot.
Okay. All right, let me do this one for you, then. Green, Williams, Harrison. From Kentucky, the corner.
Loved it. Love it.
So you get an edge rusher at 12. You get a defensive tackle in the second round. And then you get a nickel, corner
a
replace
nickel corner,
Jordan.
But it could play on the outside too. All right, let me throw you offense, Walchuk. Genty, Jackson, the guard from Ohio State, and Royals, the wide receiver from Utah State. Or throw me a third round receiver.
Wide receiver.
A wide receiver then. Because on my board, that's where I went.
Yeah, I mean, and that makes sense. I mean, like, I don't know if Abesh is going to get to you in the third round or
not. I don't think so.
I don't think Ayoma Noor is going to get to you from Stanford in the third round. So, I'd probably rather go with Royals than Higgins, the kid out of Iowa State,
yeah,
personally, too.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I love the first two picks, Jenty and Jackson. I mean, I've got Jackson as maybe the cleanest offensive lineman in the entire draft, personally.
Sure.
So I'd love that, but I do think the more impact there, you're probably getting from the three defensive players.
There you go.
Yeah, I think defense would be where I would want to go, and the need for an edge rusher opposite Micah Parsons is obviously huge. We'll see what happens with Sam Williams off the ACL, but he's not a guy that has proven to be someone you can really depend on there. So I think the need for defense is going to supersede the need for offense, and you're just going to cross your fingers that you have the right coaches in place and plan in place to get the most out of those guys. But you are in a situation where you have so many needs that you're not going to be able to really solve all the problems that you have. But I think on defense right now, it is just, it's slim pickings, and we'll see how free agency pans out. But it is definitely Eberflus doesn't have a ton to work with as it stands right now. How about this for a championship flex? I've never seen this move before, but Eagles wide receiver A.J. Brown bought a life-size mannequin to display his unwashed, which I think is appropriate, game-worn Super Bowl jersey in his man cave. So he got, and this it comes courtesy of, I believe, his girlfriend or his wife's Instagram page, POV, your boyfriend, okay, boyfriend, girlfriend, buys a 6'2 mannequin to put his game-worn Super Bowl uniform on. So now you have
the entire uniform.
Yeah, he's got the socks, entire uniform. He's got the pants. You can see like blood stains or whatever it is on his thigh pad right there. He's got the helmet on, probably the same helmet and mouthpiece he used in the game, and then the game-worn jersey. That's a pretty interesting way to go about it there. A lot of guys will just maybe frame
the jersey.
That's
good planning right there.
This dude was,
He just took his equipment bag home with him is what he did. he didn't let the equipment guys just take it on the truck. He just take it home with him.
Yeah, I mean, I love that it's the game-worn stuff and it's unwashed. That's what you want.
Got to keep it unwashed. Yeah. Absolutely. If that thing gets washed, I don't want it.
But the full-on mannequin in the man cave of A.J. Brown right here. I believe it's the first of its kind.
Yeah,
I like what he's doing with that. You also have the...
I don't know if I want somebody so statuesque in my sharing my domicile with me. You know, as much as a fan I am.
Okay, maybe at some point the mannequin starts looking more lean and ripped up than you do.
I mean,
how about a reminder of how good you really were as a player?
I mean, that's cool, right? But yeah,
let's just go ahead and put that thing in a frame, put it on the wall.
Yeah,
get the mannequin out of here.
You think Honey might walk by that and go, "Gosh, I miss."
I remember when you were like this, Honey.
When you were this lean.
I caught you staring at the statue again.
Yeah. And I won't ever be the same, Honey.
Yeah, and I remember when you were broke. So get out of here.
By the way, your butt is looking saggy today as well, Honey.
Yeah. I love the way it drags on the carpet. It's like a vacuum cleaner. You're leaving little prints for us.
Yeah, we'll have to wait around and see how much trouble this causes within the Brown relationship here. But I did think that was a pretty cool idea. Nice little championship flex there in the man cave. Jordan Schultz, friend of the program, NFL Insider, says it's a first-round pick that is believed to be the asking price for Matthew Stafford if the Rams are going to be trading him. Hmm. So one singular first-round pick.
That's easy money.
Especially if you're the Steelers. Where are the Steelers picking in this draft?
Right in the middle. I think they're at 21.
21.
21, pick 21 for easy. Matthew Stafford. If I'm the Steelers,
you're outside your window of first round grades.
Talking about definitely. Second, absolutely.
Yeah.
And if you could really work it and do a draft night trade, maybe trade down a couple of picks, get to like 28, and then flip the pick. But I still prefer the idea. Ultimately, if you're the Steelers and you give Tomlin the year long sabbatical, Arthur Smith tanks this thing, and then you're picking a guy like Arch Manning in the top five next year. That's your only chance to get a long window type player at the position.
I would love it if my organization's playing the long game. If not, I mean, don't you think the Colts makes a lot of sense too? They're picking 14th.
Well, they've got Anthony Richardson, but they did say they're looking for another quarterback because they don't think he can stay healthy for a full season.
Yeah, that could make plenty of sense. And it doesn't even have to be like with Matthew Stafford. You could be talking about a one year, maybe 2 year sure. kind of deal, and then yeah. and then you can still potentially go back to Anthony Richardson with a couple more years
Colts
of development.
Colts makes
perhaps.
Sense if that GM's trying to save his job.
Sure does. Oh yeah, hot seat Ballard.
Yep.
I think that's real.
But looking at this, I mean, there's just not a lot of QB needy teams outside of the top 10 of the draft, you know? So I might be waiting them out. Like, I'm going to see what you're going to do with that Stafford situation.
Not a bad idea.
I'll give you a two.
Yeah.
Well, it's like okay. I saw Washington to trade for Cooper Kupp. Like, they are a team that might do that. And I've also seen that they might end up just cutting Cooper Kupp. So if you're Washington, then maybe you just don't want to get into a bidding war
right.
yeah.
for other teams. That makes some sense. But otherwise, wait it out. You probably can offer more money than anybody else outside of maybe New England.
Yeah, that would make a lot of sense. And, you know, I think they have, what, like $90 million in cap space?
I mean, they just gained more today.
Yeah, they're going to have a hell of a team.
Did you guys hear the exclusive sound of the ghost of Tom Landry?
I was lucky enough to get to talk with the ghost of Tom Landry earlier today.
Wow.
It was
okay.
amazing.
Well, for those who missed it, here's some sound on the baseball show of record, the KNC Masterpiece. Here's a little snippet of their Tom Landry conversation today.
Kevin!
Hey, coach.
How's it going?
Kind of weird at the moment, but good otherwise. How are you?
I died 25 years ago! And I can't believe what I'm watching here from heaven. Me and Tex Schramm are rolling over in heaven, left and right, watching this stuff. We can't cuss here in heaven, Kevin.
You can't?
We don't want to. We are in the presence of God.
Mm-hmm.
And I'd like to tell you, if you're going to be a leader at this station, Kevin, you need to get a fedora and a suit and tie.
Okay.
You're sloppy dressing. How are you going to lead? I had to lead people like Hollywood Henderson, and you had to lead Mike Bassick, and you didn't do the best job.
Man, are you sure about that, coach? I thought I did a really good job with
Kevin,
Mike Bassick.
Kevin, play along with the bit.
Okay.
And take a load off.
Oh, my God.
Take a load off.
I had no idea Baskey had this particular skill set after all these years doing radio.
I don't think I've ever seen it, dude. He is so loosey-goosey right now. Mm. Next week will be must-listen appointment radio as he does his final five shows before becoming the Rangers television analyst full-time.
I wonder if we could get Baskey to join us on our Tito's Day.
You think he'd be willing to do extra work?
No, I don't mean us.
For not extra pay?
I don't mean us in the G-Bag Nation, per se. I just mean he starts off the Tito's Day at 10 a.m. with
a new
KNC Masterpiece.
I don't think he needs to. Like he would
get himself in hot water
right off the jump, yeah.
I tried to make him a problem drinker at a couple different occasions during our, what was that, 7 years together, 8 years together? It never came together.
Not once? You never saw him?
Maybe like five drinks in was the most.
Wasn't the New York City Super Bowl media party the one for the ages with
Yes, that was legendary. That was fun.
Was that CA?
CA, yes. I think, was the headliner, but I thought Baskey held his own.
I was too hammered to remember. So
I think that was the trip where Baskey snuck off with Tim Collins, went and saw Mamma Mia on Broadway.
That's right. Yeah.
Dreams do come true.
Mm-hmm.
That's special. I hope it gets back to New York.
That
would
be
amazing. A different type of deal. I've never been to New York City, haven't gone back, but man, it's freaking awesome.
Yeah, I think we just have the next two are locked in at this point. I don't know when we'll get the 2028, I guess.
29, Vegas.
29?
They had a report that Vegas is probably going to get 2029 on Friday. They're already looking at trying to go back there.
So we have San Francisco and Atlanta. Those are guarantees.
And then L.A.
LA's. Yeah. Oh, wow. Okay. All right. So New York is still not there. Well, what do you think about Caleb Williams, who didn't do much in the way of impressing people in year one as the Chicago Bears quarterback number one overall pick, but he has signed the new Topps promo card. He has signed it. It's obviously his card, and he signs it with Green Bay Sucks, and then he puts his signature and his number on there. Is that a good move for a guy who's done nothing to? I mean, this would make sense if Aaron Rodgers did this after all those years of just completely owning the Bears, for instance.
Double down, let's go.
But
reminds me of when I went after Dale Hansen in my rookie year on radio here at the Fan.
Just do it,
and you know, I think it's good. You know,
worse for wear.
Yeah, it can't get worse.
No,
I. Huh.
I think he's maybe taking the lead of his coach.
Yes, because he's the one that Ben Johnson in his opening presser is like showing love to Campbell and O'Connell, and then he gets to LaFleur and he talks about how he loved just beating them all those years as the OC in Detroit. So the infighting and the rivalries are, I mean, they're stoking this thing, and I as a just a casual football fan, it fires me up. Yeah, I am excited. The animosity is going
to
be real.
No doubt. It endears you to the fan base there in Chicago. They're going to love Caleb Williams even more.
You're letting them know we're coming for you, you know, and as soon as we get an offensive line, it's going to be a hell of an effort. So we'll see what they do next week in that department.
Yeah, they got some money to spend. Trey Smith seems to be a favorite to go to Chicago right now.
Yeah, his girlfriend apparently is from there or lives there. I saw Bears fans are doing the FBI kind of like figuring out a way to get Trey Smith.
That's awesome.
To be on their offensive line. So, yeah, that was uncovered.
I saw a projection of Zach Martin to the Chiefs.
Yeah.
Wouldn't that strengthen your side team a little bit? Like, you got to – my side team's the Chiefs.
And like rooting possibly, for them even more?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah. I think I probably would. And if you're Zach Martin and you're still thinking about playing, wouldn't that be the obvious choice to want to go?
There's no other place, maybe. You know, I don't imagine you'd want to go to Philadelphia after being a Cowboy for so long, but sometimes it happens. Mm. You know, highest bidder. Sometimes players get in the game and their relationships with people matter more than the city or what the fans would have to say about you. That would be awkward, though.
You got to draw a line somewhere, right? I mean, wouldn't you completely turn Walchuk on Zach Martin, a man that you've loved for forever, borderline in love with, if he goes to Philly?
Yeah, I think he's Emmitt Smith of this generation.
Yeah, I'd be so ticked off. Like, when Emmitt left Arizona, at least Arizona stunk. Okay? Yeah. Philly's good.
All righty. No. Well, an addition of the finest every evening, 5 o'clock here in the nation, is Team USA getting some defensive reinforcements with McAvoy now infected inside a hospital? That's coming up next. We'll hit the expressway at LA Live at 5:40, and we're back here in the nation.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not so secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast to upgrade your selling today. Shopify.com/Odyssey Podcast.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Ah, can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, everybody, it's here. The March to Spring Training and Opening Day is officially upon us. Hey, I'm Rob Bradford from Baseballs and Boring, and we'll have you covered every single day with instant reactions to late-breaking signings, determining which players are, yes, truly in the best shape of their lives, and behind-the-scenes stories from all the excitement and intrigue that spring training brings. Follow Baseball Isn't Boring in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, welcome back. Time to hit the expressway where we go commercial-free to the top. The Expressway is brought to you by the On-Time Experts. Segment is presented by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. A couple of different texts asking about the Dale Hansen story. What do we got? Three different people here? Okay. So maybe Lucius can help here just a little bit. But, yeah, I went after him in my rookie year, sort of like Caleb Williams going after the Green Bay Packers. But the way I remember this, Dale, you know, had this evening newscast sports on WFAA for years, and he said that Richie and Grego were in Jerry's back pocket, right? So there was some sort of cowboy story going on, and Dale was like, oh, you only think that because everybody at your station is in the Cowboys' back pocket and they pay you to, you know, take their stance and whatever. So at the time, just for context, right, like right now, I would just laugh that off or something, but, you know, we were fighting for our lives at the Fan. People called us the Fail, right? Mm-hmm. A radio Hall of Famer would often say here today, gone tomorrow about us, you know, and we didn't know what the future was holding, right? This was 2010. We would spend entire quarters of a radio ratings book outside of like the top 15, sometimes top 20. It's like crap. You remember ESPN 103.3, some books they would beat us.
Yeah.
You know, and shout out
and
to
they were trying to quit.
Yeah, shout out to Randy Galloway and stuff. And they had a good presentation going on. But for like 5 hours out of the main 6 a.m. to 7 p.m., they were running like satellite national programming and they were beating us. And it was like crap. So I was feeling feisty. And I was solo at nights with Lucius and Tomondrick the Preacher Man. Salute to Tomondrick, by the way. So I did this segment every night, I don't know, for maybe a month or so called Dale Unveiled. And I called him Stale Hansen, you know, and he needed to go because, you know, I was just doing whatever I could to fight at him, right? Because, and I what I did is I talked to as many people around the market as I could that knew gossip about Dale. It's like, okay, you want to gossip about us and just, you know, say what's on your mind? I'm going to go to people that actually worked with you or worked around you, maybe were your rivals.
Dick Wolf.
And it was Dale Unveiled every night, and we gave him heck for a while. And then Mark Elfenbein, salute to Elf, he ran into him at like a fundraiser or something and was like, hey, are you ever going to apologize to Gavin Dawson? And we had the great soundbite for a while.
I do not apologize. Being right means never having to say you're sorry. And I do not say I'm sorry to anybody. Ask the lovely Mrs. Hansen.
Yeah, I was demanding an apology. And Elf went up to him and asked him if he was going to give it. And, you know, he didn't right there.
I just think he's a lousy general.
Yeah. and then actually the next training camp, we were in Oxnard. And CA and I were sitting there having a pepperoni pizza. He liked jalapenos on his half of it. And Mike Fisher comes over and says, hey, it's Dale Hansen's birthday. He wants you to come over. So I'm like, oh, crap, here we go. Right. And Dale was on one and he was in the zone. He's holding court. Like the servers are like, who is this guy? We need him to quiet down or calm down. But I mean, he was just such a. I mean, you were probably around.
He glamored you, bro.
Yeah,
larger than life personality type. Yeah.
So he bought me a beer and
glamored him,
and we had a toast to 105.3 The Fan.
Oh wow! Okay, so you guys let bygones be bygones.
He sure did glamor.
He glamored him.
Yeah,
not really. Yeah. He tricked. Boston.
I sure like what you do on air, son. Come here. Yeah.
He did say something like, "Boy, you were really giving me hell there for a little bit," and I was like, "Yeah, well, you know, we wanted to make it." And I thought it was good for the station, wasn't it, Lucius?
Because it was fantastic.
It was courting attention at any cost. Yeah, and we needed that.
Yeah, my uncle used to ask, well, "He's going to fight Dale? What's going on, baby?" Yeah. I know he got to see Dale. He's got to see Dale at some point.
Yeah, and I still want nothing to do with Dale. I mean, he's just a mountain of a man.
His head is real big.
Yeah, as long as he's standing, he would whoop my ass. Yeah. That's for sure. But I wanted to have a little bit of fun there, and we did. Yeah,
I love that.
Good for you, man. That's
great.
Fantastic
trip down memory lane.
Yeah. Okay, defenseman Quinn Hughes is not going to travel to Boston to join the U.S. We had Greg Wyshynski there from ESPN on a couple of hours ago now, and he actually broke the story. But they were hoping he could be an injury replacement. He plays for Vancouver, and he's a really good defenseman. So that was like on the top of their list. But apparently the Canucks have not cleared him. He's been recovering from an injury. As Charlie McAvoy has been lost for the tournament now, the injury and then an infection
That's got him at a hospital. So that's not fun. So the Americans are going to have Sabre center Tage Thompson and Devils defenseman Brett Pesce as injury insurance for tomorrow night's final, which is at 7 o'clock right here on 105.3 The Fan. We're going to have the play-by-play for you. So sorry to the fatties. You know, I know they're excited about Blake and Fred and all the great work they're doing, as we are as well, but there will be no fatties tomorrow, and I guess no hot stove for the Rangers either. I guess it's no longer hot stove because they're at spring training. And Jared's already out there. We'll join him next week. Luka Doncic likely off minutes restriction tonight as the Lakers take on the Hornets. It's the only game of the night in the association. The Mavericks will resume on Friday. 817, Gavin, I played against Dale Hansen at an underground poker room in Dallas years ago. That dude does not shut up, LOL. Yeah, and it's great. You know, Dale's one of the guys that it's going to keep on going, and you love every story and every take. I mean, he was just an absolute talent.
That dude's dry snitching right there. Underground poker room. That dude's dry
snitching. Yeah, he's been playing at this game that I went to a couple of times.
Big Dale?
Yeah, Big Dale. And TJ Cloutier and stuff. Like, it's cool to play poker tournaments in North Texas because you never know who's going to be there, pros and, you know, semi-pros and you know, TV personalities and stuff, a radio host, if you will. Kyrie Irving, here we have some audio. Excited about the post-All-Star portion of the schedule. Do you share this excitement, Kyrie?
We had how many minutes together?
Yeah.
And I think everybody saw it. It was a microcosm of just the impact that AD makes, and then also having Gaff. And when you look at the potential of D-Live being put in there with him, and then, you know, PJ, who's emerging as a young star in our league. And we also got Max Christie, who was, you know, high-level player for the Lakers. And, you know, we're getting healthy at the right time. You know, no matter who's in, we got to take care of this.
Yeah, I think at this point, guys, they will make at least the play-in. I'm confident in that. The basketball they played in those couple of games after the Gafford and Davis injuries. And I'm hoping it's possible that they get healthy at just the right time and go on this magical run. Maybe they could be the first play-in team to win a championship. Well, Chuck, what do you think about that?
If they're healthy, I think they absolutely have the pieces to do it. I mean, we got a glimpse of just how special it can be. And I know that doesn't make up for the return that they got, and I think that that's ultimately what Maverick fans will always be ticked off about, and that Luka's not a Maverick. But for this team right now, I think Kyrie's right. They deserve us to just be pulling for the players. You don't have to pull for the front office, but I'll always be a Maverick fan. I mean, I've said this with the Cowboys. Like, the players come and go. I love the team, right? And I'm a DFW sports fan, so I hate it. It stinks that Luka's gone. But I'm rooting for Kyrie and those boys to go out there and win as many games as possible and win an NBA championship.
Yeah.
And I do think that you're probably right, I heard, because I am a fatty. And they said second easiest schedule.
Okay.
In the second half of the season.
In the West.
Nice. In the West. So, hey, that's a good path to at least make the play, into your point.
Yeah, you know, and we'll see. We don't know how injured Anthony Davis is, and how quiet they're being about it does make me a little bit nervous. But they're going to be so loaded. I think I would consider it the deepest and highest quality roster, at least in the West. You know, what OKC has, what Minnesota has, what Denver has, and I know Draymond Green's talking about a championship in Golden State, but I would take fully healthy with Lively back. It's just absurd how they're going to be able to rim protect, play defense with their length and their speed, and, you know, probably get into transition. And maybe we've seen enough from the half-court offense, you know, especially with AD's three quarters of brilliant work. While it might not be move the ball around, execute offense, like just throwing it to AD when he has a guy one-on-one is about as good as it gets in per 100 possession metrics.
Yeah, you just wonder how much the wear and tear on Kyrie is going to be by the time you get to postseason.
That's
time,
right,
because you're
going
to have so many guys out. And then you're just really going to be watching, even if they get everybody back together and they're healthy going into the postseason, you are watching everything on the edge of your seat, just waiting for the next Derek Lively or Anthony Davis or Kyrie or whatever injury situation. And that's what's kind of a bummer, It's like watching Tony Romo at the end. You're just like, every snap you have to appreciate because this could be the last one.
Yeah, yeah, no doubt, man. Kyrie does not have the best track record of staying healthy. And with that amount of minutes at his age with that back situation, you're right about that. We're going to be kind of holding our breath. 817 asks, didn't Dale break the SMU story?
He did.
And, yeah, that was one of the pieces of my Dale unveiled. I mean, this is like 14 years ago, right? So, but... And he gets credit for this. His producer did a lot of the legwork. Yeah. But as a TV sports anchor, you get credit for whatever your producer finds.
The station.
Yeah.
The station did it. Yeah.
So I exploited that too, man. He's taking credit for breaking this SMU story. He didn't do it, you know. Yeah. Yeah. He's just up there, you know, grandstanding or whatever. But that was kind of the vein we were operating in. Rich Paul, CEO of Clutch Sports, top agency in the NBA, might be making the Mavs better one way or another. He was on the Gilbert Arenas podcast yesterday. Take a listen.
I'm glad I didn't know. And I'm glad that whoever else didn't know, because it probably wouldn't have happened if you did know. Because now you start to open up the opinions and the conversations and different cans of worms. And so you can't get those things done with people knowing. And, you know, everybody going to have their issues about it. That's not my place. Only thing I can do is whatever happens, guy get there. Okay, well, how do we make this situation the best we can make is how I look at it.
All right. So, I mean, that's great. Just Rich Paul wanting to make the Mavericks the best situation for Anthony Davis. It is, in a lot of ways, an agent-run league. As he said, 99% of the time, he knows what's going to happen before it does, but this was one of the few situations. So I just wonder, how do Rich and LeBron look at the Lakers right now? Do they like him? LeBron can opt out coming up this offseason. So you have the Kevin Durant possibility. You have maybe there's a LeBron James possibility in there, but I can't imagine he would be signing for the mid-level exception, which I think is around 13 or 14 million. So it would take a lot of cap gymnastics to get there. But that's interesting. LeBron can opt out. Rich Paul focused on making the Anthony Davis situation as good as it can get. Rick Welts, Mavs CEO, you know, talking about where they are, where they go from here. The big headline maker was he probably underestimated the reaction from Mavericks fans about the Luka Doncic trade. How did you take that?
I mean, I don't know. Maybe everyone naturally would have had to have underestimated to an extent, but like, what did you think was going to happen? Come on. I'm glad you're being honest. But dude, I mean, you're just trading a beloved stud in the prime of his career for a team that's been built off loyalty and having one main superstar that is loyal to that city. It's tied and intertwined in the community. Like, you had 40 years of going from Dirk to Luka, and you just said, you know what, the hell with this. We want to microwave a championship right here, right now. But you were just in the finals with this guy. So, yeah, it's like, come on, man. Well, I don't know how you didn't expect this to be absolutely bananas and everybody to be ticked off at you, especially taking less than what you could have gotten.
I think we're really seeing the downside of having ownership and management that isn't Texas, you know, and they don't get you.
That's the biggest thing.
Yeah.
That's the biggest thing is you have outside folks that really don't understand what the commitment is with the community to the player and then the player to the community. And they really misevaluated that. You know, Mark Cuban, long time, you know, not from here, but long time owner, lived here. So he understands, ownership understands, but you get a group that comes in here and their ideas for business and the way they do things. And really they really misevaluated that. They should have leaned on people from here, people in the Mavs organization, longtime members. They should have said, listen, you know, people they trusted, hey, we're thinking about this trade.
Mm-hmm.
And somebody could have stepped up, maybe an employee for, you know, 18, 20 years, whatever, in the organization says, this is a terrible idea to do. You got to think about the fan base here. You got to think about what we're trying to build here, what we're trying to do here. And yeah, so that's like you said, that's a lot of inexperience of just not being from here and knowing
totally out of touch.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, you know, and he went on to say it's an incredibly difficult time, but he still believes they're going to come out of it on the other side with a future that's incredibly bright. That's kind of my glass half full approach there. Mm. When you use glass half full, you're kind of acknowledging this situation sucks and I'm trying to make the most of it.
That's exactly what he's doing.
So I don't think, you know, Rick Welts would have done this trade. I do kind of want to, you know, give him a little bit of leeway as far as how he phrased that. But, you know, when you want to look at 27, 28, 29, and 30, you don't have your own picks. AD and Kyrie are going to be mid-30s with injury history when you get there and have no picks. This might have signed us up for not only not winning a championship with Luka, but if they don't get a title in the next couple of years, this could be a half decade before you can even really start to rebuild.
Yeah, basketball is not as friendly to you as the NFL when you lose.
Yeah.
You know, that's that when you lose in the NFL, they give you hope by letting you draft players at a high level. Yeah,
I mean, just look at what the Clippers did getting Paul George and Kawhi.
Yeah,
that was 3 years ago, and they are lost at sea. Yeah, they have no chance.
If you really suck in the NBA, we give you have a percentage. You have a better chance, but it's no guarantee. If you're really bad in the NFL, they're like, hey, you know, you get to pick first today. So that's I think that's a big difference.
No, you're right. I mean, how quickly did the Suns just fall off?
Yeah.
That was like a young, dominant team in the West. They go to the finals, they lose to Milwaukee, and then they're like, oh, we got to add here. They expense the future to get Beal and KD, and it's just not working for them.
No, it's tough. He did talk about the new arena as well, said it'll look nothing like what he built in Golden State. It'll be the greatest expression of what Mavericks fans would expect when they walk into the arena. It'll have everything about Texas and Dallas that we can bring to it. To give it a shape and form that'll be a foundation for economic competition over the next 30 or 40 years. I just don't care about that. You know, a new arena is great, and maybe it'll be even more comfortable, but I'd much rather be hearing about, you know, a great team coming out of the All-Star break with a healthy Luka ready to kick ass and take names. It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup, where Lucius Alexander has LA Live.
All right. All praises, all burners, all raises. It's a hump day, a butt naked Wednesday. Let's get into it right into the great Rick James.
Well, all right, you swear. It's time to fire up this funk and let's have a toe. Whoa. It'll make you dance with some of everything. Everybody get high.
Why olives?
Because they might be dead people.
Why do they remind you of dead?
My grandpa sat up in his coffin and looked at me when he died.
And you really believe that your grandfather came right up out of his coffin and he had green eyes? And ever since then, you've been scared of olives. Bring out the olives!
It's Butt Naked Wednesdays.
Man, I might have seen that episode.
Maury was awful, bro.
He was.
So you said you're scared of cotton.
Yeah.
Bring out the cotton. Love that, bro. Oh, they should have taken. I'm so. Anyway, LA Live for Wednesday, February 19th, 2025. It is a Butt Naked Wednesday here in LA Live. Word to Miss Badu for naming today. I just want to thank Miss Badu. I just want to thank you and let you know that I too was born underwater with $3.06. I tell y'all not miss my dude. If you ever get in her aura, she's going to change you. Every man that she's ever had close to her changed for the better.
For the better?
For the better. For the better. Now you might start dressing goofy.
Oh.
You might. Yeah, you might wear shoulder pads in public. Shout out to Andre 3000. You might be like Common and wear a sweater in the middle of the street in the summer.
Oh, no.
You know, it might happen to you, but you got that Baduism in you. I'm telling you what about Miss Badu. I tell you what.
Man, I just looked it up. That's me, too. I was born underwater with $3.06.
Yeah, you might laugh, but you did not do your math. Hotel piece of the gods, all praises due, all that fly stuff on a hump day that feels kind of like a Thursday.
It does.
Man, it really does. It feels like a Thursday. Hurry up. We'll get there to that Friday. G-Pack of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media, Lucius Alexander on Facebook, and you can follow us all if you find G-Bag Nation on Twitter. Our winner right here comes from the Fan After Dark. It's Blake and Fred. Fred is hilarious, bro. They're both great. Don't get me wrong. They're both awesome. They're two peas in a pod, I tell you what.
Oh, yeah, they are. It works well.
I've been scratching my head, my chin, my butt, everything. Listen to these guys. Like, what's going on in there? Here you go.
682 is not dating me. Blake, I'm starting to not like you. I'll finish.
What a thing to say.
On Valentine's Day.
What a thing. Man, why? What'd he say?
I loved you when you started.
Okay.
But you got to stop being a hater. You smash on Fred, and he's pretty non-objective despite being a KC native.
Oh, we got a Fred Truther on there.
Okay.
Yeah, we got Fred Burner on here.
First of all, hey, look. Hey, thanks. But. That's what, but I mean, we both bust on each other.
Say what?
You got sincere.
No way you just said that. No way.
Frank, he stopped down and got sincere. But, we both bust on each other. Here.
Let me pull the curtain back.
Pull the curtain back.
So everybody knows.
Continuing the tradition of excellence in that evening show, man. You guys carried that baton well for a while.
It was fun. You can get away with that type of stuff.
Okay, we got Fred Burner on here.
First of all, hey, look, hey, thanks, but that's what. But I mean, we both bust on each other.
Oh my God. Okay.
And that's why you're a fatty.
Okay. All right. Let me get the fire right again. That's hilarious to me still. It's because the way he just stopped down.
Yeah.
This is stopping down.
But.
Whoa. We both bust on each other, by the way.
Yeah, it's cool.
LA Live 105.3 The Fan on a butt naked Wednesday. I got a question for the Tolos right here. A little throwback. What's a funny fashion trend that you participated in? What's a fashion trend that you participate in? Like you look back at the photos and say,
yeah. Rolled up my sleeves in my sport coat, Lucius.
Yeah, that was a thing.
The Miami Vice look.
That was a thing.
Like the Don Johnson. Like you go to a party, and I would roll up the sleeves on my sport. I couldn't figure out, I'm like, why the hell am I wearing this? But everybody at that party had their sleeves.
Did you have a tank top on under that
t-shirt,
sports coat?
T-shirt. T-shirt. Also, maybe occasionally roll up the sleeves, but have the collar on my polo shirt popped up.
Yes.
Yeah, that was another one. Yeah.
Hey, there was a trend where you were like, two polo shirts at the same time.
I wore yes. one under a button down.
That was quick.
Crazy. That was wild. Yeah. One collar popped up and the other one just laid cool. Crazy.
We used to wear like in college that we had like a button down, but we'd wear the polo shirt underneath like a t-shirt. Like underneath our button down shirts.
Okay. That is SEC right there. Yeah,
we are
what.
Big time SEC there.
College. Yeah, that's SEC vibes.
Lucius, I did have a rat tail. Now, if you imagine a mullet with everything taken out but the center drop down, that was probably fourth or fifth grade. I did have the parachute pants, but I don't regret that. Those were killer, you know, or Thriller. And then the one maybe I regret the most would be. Remember the shoes Keds?
Yes.
Yeah.
They started as girls' shoes. They breached over to boys' shoes as well. And I had a pair of those in sixth grade.
Kids.
Terrible decision.
Yeah.
Okay. So, yeah, I had a rat tail, too, as well.
Right on.
It was braided.
Yeah.
And sometimes I just let it flare out back there. Yeah. It was crazy looking.
Probably looked better than mine. I think by the end, I hadn't had a haircut in like 2 months. It was just a mess.
Yeah. And then that shag. Shag is like the black version of the mullet.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, we used to call it the booty haircut when I was in high school.
Okay. So
can I get a booty?
Like in 2002, Oregon played Texas with TJ Ford and Luke Ridenour and Luke Jackson had that. Yeah, and it was like the Dirk hair. And for a while at the YMCA, they called me Dirk.
Oh, okay.
That was cool. Wow. It was
not
a good
for your play on the court, but just for your aesthetic.
Yeah.
Damn.
Obviously.
Ouch.
Couldn't
My
shoot.
God.
Well, after the stories you shared with us yesterday about.
They might have been heckling me with it, actually, now that I think about it. They were trolling me. Oh, there goes Dirk shooting another three.
Definitely shoot it again.
Somebody on Fantech said penny loafers. Yes, man.
Oh, yeah.
And my dad was like, no, you got to put some pennies in the penny loafers.
You got to put some pennies in them.
With white socks.
White socks.
We had white socks, the penny loafers. Yeah. and khaki shorts. What? Oh my God. Dressing like Boys to Men.
Yeah. Or like above me. The knee. Like me.
Yeah. What's a funny fashion trend you participated in? Tolo said the crisscross backwards clothes.
Oh, never did that. It was pretty cool looking.
Criss-cross. Was that pants too? Or was that just?
Yeah, definitely
all
pants.
All of it. Wow. Yeah. The whole shebang. Yeah.
I think I was in like 10th grade, so it was just little kiddish. If I'd been 3 years younger, I might have done that one.
Okay. But I did it, and we got threatened not to do it at school. Or are you going to get suspended for having a jersey on backwards?
That's
and
stuff, crazy.
Your pants on backwards.
Yeah. Oh, that's rough.
Teachers used to make fun of me. What you got to do when you got to pee? Huh? You going to reach around and...
it is a fair question.
Yeah, it is a fair question.
Drop them.
What's a funny fashion trend you participated in? My man said Ed Hardy.
Oh, Ed Hardy shirts.
Ed Hardy
was huge.
Yeah, that was a big run. Yeah. The rhinestone jeans.
Yeah.
And the girls would make fun of those guys hard.
It'd be like some MMA fighting dude. Yeah. He's super drunk with an Ed Hardy rhinestones on his, and an eagle.
It was always somebody coming in the bar demanding you turn the TV on to the UFC fight or something like that. The Ed Hardy dudes were always
yelling. Shout out to Troy, man. I feel always like he never really grew out of that phase.
Ooh.
Yeah, the bedazzled jeans.
Man, nobody had him like Troy.
That's funny, man. Somebody said the Gumby haircut. Yes, I had the Gumby haircut as well.
That was great.
Like Bishop and Juice or Bobby Brown had the Gumbiest. My mom and my aunt did my Gumby for school, and it looked terrible. Mm. It looked absolutely terrible. My dad cut it off as soon as he seen it.
I can see how that could get haywire looking at the photos here. Yeah. That's a tough needle to thread.
Yeah, and my mom or my aunt were not barbers or beauticians. Mm. So it was like, hey, let's experiment on this kid. Pause.
You know, and now that I look back, like the late 90s and early 2000s, it got too oversized. You know, like
really big and baggy.
The jackets on draft night, just huge.
It was all very baggy.
Two sizes too big.
The suits. The shoulder pads, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, those Steve Hightower clothes.
Hey, about 1988 or 89, though, the biking shorts, like those spandex, they were in for like cruising around town for a couple of years.
Dudes.
Yes.
Like, my dad and my uncle be walking around with them biker shorts.
Yes.
Talking about they going to the West End.
Yeah. What? That was something.
Yep. And the biker hats that you would flip up a little bit.
Oh, it's like with the little bill. Yeah. Little round. Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hollister? Am I saying it right? Hollister jeans?
Yeah.
Graphic tees and puka shell necklaces.
Puka shells.
Yeah, I did some of that with some frosted shells. Tips.
And frosted tips is definitely on the list.
Kid in the 90s, everything was tie-dye. We were doing a bunch of tie-dying as well in like summer camps. I never really got it, but there was a bunch of tie-dye shirts and crap.
I don't think I ever had one.
I do think
love me some
tie-dye. We did one. It was fun.
Like scouts or something.
It's like, how many tie-dye shirts do we need?
Did you ever wear like the mesh football jersey out? Like the
practice kind of jersey?
And like, it's like half?
Well, not the half shirt, but it was like it was like the big mesh.
I remember
like
that.
With a number on it. Like,
it's mid-80s.
Like you had bad shorts and that this like mesh jersey
on it. Yeah,
I've
seen that, but it is like...
It's a summertime thing.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like, you know, it's like, I'm like, I can't do this. I can't do this. But everybody
kind of see-through a little bit.
Well, really, you don't want to take your shirt off at the pool. Of course, you're not wearing
exactly.
that.
Exactly. No, I'm not going to do that.
I'm with you.
Somebody on the fan text said they had see-through Air Force Ones. I remember that run of the see-through shoes.
Oh, wow.
And it capped off with Marcus Houston with that see-through outfit on the red carpet. And that was it. Everything was done after that.
Damn, did you get the Heelys? Or those are the that you could roll on, like the back of the shoe?
I didn't have them.
Like little wheels.
I was jealous of the kids that did.
I was,
too. That was a cool feature that came in after my time.
Yeah. Heelys were awesome.
I do wish cargo pants would come back. And maybe with these wide leg pants, we're like 4 years off from that. Because I really appreciated those extra pockets.
Yeah, the cargo pants were cool. And the cargo shorts.
Cargo shorts.
That's
cargo shorts, bro.
Still
wear them.
What about the detachable ones? You can like unzip at the knee and they're like versatile. like shorts and pants.
Yeah. Pants didn't properly hit right, but the shorts were awesome.
Well, and I'll tell you, just trying to re-zipper them back,
you
if
can't
you need
do
to do
it.
The reconnect, it's borderline impossible.
Yeah.
Did you ever get into the fanny pack?
Never.
I'm still in the fanny packs.
Never.
I think it's decent as a holster.
Like, if you don't want to tuck it or put it in your jacket or something like that, if you get one of those fanny pack holsters for concealed carry, it's pretty cool.
I was getting ready to say, bro, if you see me at the pool in the summer and I got that fanny pack with me, yeah, just know.
It's really smart.
Just know.
It's convenient.
Just know. Yeah. Just know.
I'm not the one.
Yeah, I'm not the one or the two.
You got to have a good butt to put that thing in the back of your pants. Otherwise, it's going to slide down or give you trouble. Like, some cops can wear that thing in the back of their pants and just... it disappears on their body. You know, they don't even feel it.
Built different.
Yeah.
What's a funny fashion trend that you participated in? FUBU. I remember FUBU. I had platinum FUBU.
Yeah.
Fat Albert.
The Fat Albers, the Pink Panthers and all that other stuff.
I had a little Fat Albert on my cheek.
We said the rat tail already. That's cool. Faux hawk.
Yeah, the faux hawk.
What about the JNCOs, man? I'm getting a lot of texts about the JNCOs.
I think JNCOs might be number one on the list.
Yeah, dude.
JNCO jeans.
And I loved those.
The big shorts are back. We were shopping in California. I took Abby down to Mission Beach or something like that.
Oh, they like them.
And we're cruising through. And I was like, wow, this looks like 2001 here. Big shorts.
The big Shaqs.
Yeah.
Shaq has some big-ass shorts. Because if they can look big on Shaq, that's a whole lot of denim.
You guys never wore members only jackets?
Still got members only jackets.
Yeah,
still you can get them at the, what's that called? The thrift stores.
Yeah.
Yeah, if you know what you're doing.
I was a big V-neck t-shirt guy for a while.
I went with the V-neck and had a faux hawk at the same time.
V-neck faux hawk?
Yeah.
Oh, I was banging Blink-182 in your ears.
Yeah. I was out of control, man. About those JNCOs, my friend used to wear his JNCOs all the time, but we from the South.
Mm. Is that something Bobby was saying?
So the JNCOs?
Bobby says it was something they wanted to burn. It's JNCOs.
He looked like a JNCO wearer,
too. Yeah, he says he wants to burn every photo of me wearing them.
But my man would starch his JNCOs, like heavy, heavy starch, where they're like cardboard almost. Mm. Crazy. He was the only one in school starching his JNCOs. Shout out to you. My man Lawrence, what's a funny fashion trend that you participated in? Harem pants. Those are the hammer pants.
The hammer pants.
Yeah. Yep. I had a pair of those polka dots. There goes the frosted tips. Von Dutch. Overalls.
Overalls. Yeah.
You would wear the cover down.
Those were cool.
Yeah. Oh, or just one across.
Yeah. With the short set on them.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was cool.
Tall tees.
Yes.
Be a 5X, 6X tee. And you 85 pounds.
Yeah.
Yeah. The bigger the better.
Yeah. Used to get them at, what, a Foot Locker? 4'20" or something like that.
With the baggiest jean shorts you've ever seen.
Just ridiculous. Skinny jeans from Forever 21.
Forever 21. I'm glad I dodged that.
Man, they were buying their jeans at Forever 21, bro. Dudes, Z Cavaricci's, Jabot jeans.
Jabot, yeah.
I went to Jabot's website today.
Jordache.
And those jeans are still expensive. Yeah. Everything's expensive. Hoodies are $200. T-shirts, Jabot, $100. $300 for jeans.
Damn.
Wow. Jabot, who do you think you are?
How about the 90210 haircut? You know, you'd shave it up on the sides and it'd be floppy over the top. It was like a mushroom.
Yeah, I remember that.
That was big when I was in high school.
Yes. Red snap bell bottoms with a white navy belt from the Army Navy store. This is the 70s right here, brothers.
Yep.
Little disco stuff.
Disco stuff, yeah, with the big heels, the platform shoes, plaid pants.
Are the bell bottoms back?
I think they are.
Yeah,
I think they are.
I think they're here. My man says silk drawers. Yeah, silk underwear used to be a thing.
Silk button up shirts.
Silk button up shirts 91. Was a thing. Yes, it was. Now, I didn't know ropers were like a trend. I thought ropers was just a part of. Yeah. The boots. I didn't know it was a trend.
It was a trend. Yeah. If you're wearing boots, you usually had ropers. The ones that I,
And what's that?
Like a rounded toe.
Okay.
More of a rounded toe than a pointier toe.
Okay. I like those boots.
Yeah.
They're kind of like work boots, but they're not like the normal shape. Pointy. They're like round toe. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Somebody said Levi's 501s. Dang, that's a fad.
Button up front.
That's all I wear.
Button up. No zip.
The button fly.
The button fly.
Yep. All right, let me get on out of here, man. I'm up against it. My name is Lucius Alexander. I'll be black tomorrow, Lord willing. The creek don't rise. That's my time. I holla. Peace.
Thank you, Lucius. Nice little stroll down memory lane there for you. LA Live every night 5:40 here in the G-Bag Nation. If you hadn't heard yet, probably hear it a lot over the next 24 hours. Four Nations final on the fan tomorrow. USA, Canada, 7 o'clock right after our show. You'll get the live radio play-by-play, so we're excited about that. We're excited to be in surprise next week, aren't we, Wolchuk?
Surprise! Let's do some around the bases, shall we? Over-under on the Rangers win projection. Did Simeon crack the top 10 second baseman? Could Texas be in play for this slugger? That's next.